And a very happy Easter to all of you. It works better when I switch the microphone on, so it does. Just a short reading from John's Gospel, the Easter Gospel, John chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. On this Easter day, probably you're aware, as I am, of the incredible world of choice that we live in. I went to buy an Easter egg yesterday, and there's millions of them. And millions of different sizes, shapes, all the rest. There's choices around our food, the world's cuisine, all in the one street sometimes. Choices around where we can go on holiday. World travel makes that so easy. Choice around clothing, what fashion, what brand names we want to wear or don't want to wear. Choices around what sort of car we drive. You're probably thinking all you need is money for all of these things, and that's true. But we live in a world where, in many ways, we're spoiled for choice. And that sort of mindset has crept, in fact, probably it is more than crept, it has moved right into the world of church as well. To the extent that we live in an age when people feel that they can set aside the bits of the gospel and the parts of the truths that were taught in the scriptures that don't sit comfortably to maybe culture or society today. And therefore, so often we can choose to ignore biblical principles around morals or around lifestyle and write our own rules and regulations, as it were. When we read through the scriptures, we discover that the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, points to this day that Christ has died, that Christ is risen, and that Christ will come again. But what if we choose not to believe those realities? What if Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, at least not actually, not bodily, but it's some sort of parable, it's some sort of legend, it's some sort of story? Does it matter? Can we not just apply the rules and the morals and celebrate the story? It's April Fool's Day when we make up a story and tell it as if it's true, even though it's not really true. Some years ago, we as a family were in Donegal. It was after Easter. Easter was even earlier than this year. And we were in Donegal over April Fool's Day. And I love to catch my mother in particular. I haven't done it today yet. So I thought I'd make up a story that would get my mum's blood pressure really, really up to high dough. So I rang her up and I said, Mum, do we have cousins in America? And I mentioned the names. And she said, yeah, your father has cousins in America. I says, Mum, they're all here. There's nine adults and there's five children. And it seems they wrote to you about a month ago and they said that they were coming to stay for 10 days. And they're around here at my house and I'll bring them round to you in about an hour's time. That'll give you a wee minute, Mum. And I could hear her. They're where? And I said, at that point, I've got to go. They're here, Mum. Bye. Put down the phone. Left in about half an hour and drove round the road to my mother's, who had drawn up a shopping list for my dad. And he was ready to go to the shops to do the shopping. My mum loves to cater and she loves to do hospitality, or did then when she was younger. And the bacon bowl was out, and there was a whole pile of clean bed linen to make up every bed in the house for these nine adults and five children that my poor mother thought were coming to stay. And I walked in and went, Mum, April Fool's Day. I'm not sure if I'm still in the will or not. The facts around the resurrection of Jesus. What if it was all a tale? What if they weren't true? Well, here's just a few things that would flow from that. If Jesus didn't rise again, then the scriptures are false. Paul wrote, he was buried, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Paul is clear in his epistles and in his writings that Christ died, that Christ was buried, that Christ was raised on the third day, that he appeared to Cephas, that he appeared then to the 12, that he appeared then to more than 500 at one time, that he appeared then to James, and then to all the apostles. The writings of the New Testament are clear that he was dead, that he was a corpse, that he was buried, and therefore later seen alive, an empty grave. The scriptures all point us to a crucified and to a risen Christ. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus himself drew along two of his followers and he interpreted to them along that journey. And it was a long journey, so he had a couple of hours in which to do that. He opened up the scriptures and he explained to them that the Christ had to die and rise again. The Old Testament prophets all point to Christ and to his death and to his resurrection. And the New Testament appearances of Jesus in the New Testament all point to this wonderful reality that Christ was raised from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the scriptures are all false. Clear your home of Bibles, get rid of them, because every word in them is a lie. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, but he did. Secondly, if Jesus didn't rise again from the dead, then Jesus is not declared to be the Son of God with power. Again, Paul said in Romans 1, was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus was the Son of God in eternity. Jesus continued to be the Son of God during his earthly ministry. He emptied himself of all the rights and privileges that were his of as the Son of God, and he was crucified in weakness, but we're told he was raised again in power. And when raised to life again, he's declared to be the Son of God. Jesus Christ is Lord, as we said a few moments ago, the very first Christian creed. That can't be up for dispute. He is God. And the resurrection of Jesus from the dead testifies to that great truth that he is Jesus Christ, that he is Christ Jesus, that he is the Lord, that he is the majestic risen Savior, that he is the promised Messiah. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if it's some sort of April Fool's story, then he is not declared to be the Son of God with power. The reality of him being who he is, the Son of God, God himself, is so closely tied in with the resurrection as it to be not true if there isn't a resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Thirdly, if Jesus did not rise again, there is no atonement for our sin. No price has been paid by his death for your sin or for mine, and we are still in our sins. We are still unforgiven. We are still in that sinful state. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Christianity is sterile. It's ineffective. It doesn't do anything. There's no forgiveness. There's no cleansing. There's no pardon for you or for me. We're still going to be those who will be dead eternally. Hell is our destiny. If Jesus stayed dead, then our sin has not been forgiven. Two conclusions that might be drawn if Jesus stayed dead and wasn't raised to life again. Either he wasn't sinless when he died, and so he was separated eternally from God as well as we will be. Or if sinless, for some reason his death actually didn't satisfy God and didn't pay the price for your sin or for mine. But he died and rose again, and therefore forgiveness is available to all of us, to the whole world. There is the offer of cleansing, and there's the offer of forgiveness from sin. But if he didn't rise again, then there's no atonement for sin. It hasn't been made, it hasn't been paid for, and you and I are still in our sinfulness. Fourthly, if Jesus didn't rise again from the dead, we don't have a living Savior. James is a wee phrase that he uses about Jesus often at the beginning of our services, that he's alive and well. Well, he's alive, and he's fully alive in every sense of being alive. The writer of Acts said, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We killed him, but God raised him to life. And there were loads of witnesses. And anyway, the Holy Spirit himself gives witness that Jesus was raised from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. I remember a rector who had been my rector whenever I was a boy, and then he moved away to another parish. And in that other parish, he had a real God encounter. He had a real encounter with the risen Christ that was transformative and changed his whole ministry. And he came back to preach at a youth service in the church where I grew up. And he got into the pulpit, and he basically gave his testimony as to how he locked himself in his church in Dublin for a couple of days, and how he really met the risen Christ and had his life changed. And he burst into song. I can't remember the words of the song. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we don't have a risen, reigning, returning Savior. He's dead April's fool. You and I are everybody's fool. Fifthly, if Christ didn't rise again from the dead, the Christian church has no solid foundation. It's a waste of your time and energy and money being here this morning. We read in Matthew's Gospel, I tell you, Jesus said to Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Or Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said, he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. Or further on in the letter to the Ephesians, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Peter, Paul, and the other apostles would preach Christ. They would preach Christ crucified. They would preach Christ raised from the dead on the third day. And on this truth, many people would build their lives. As you read through the book of Acts, you discover that Jews and Gentiles alike build their lives on this truth. And the church is birthed. The church is born. It's a church that would cross borders. It's a church that would transcend nations. It's a church that would transcend the generations. It's a church that even the gates of hell would not prevail against. The 12 taught that Jesus had been raised from the dead. They were eyewitnesses. And that same faith has been passed on down through the ages. If you tamper with the foundation of a building, the whole building crumbles. Never go near the foundation of your house. Never try to sort of dig in under it to remove some of the foundation unless you want the whole thing to come tumbling down around you. The church topples without the foundation of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. If Christ didn't rise again, the Christian church in all of its expressions has no solid foundation and it has no head. Sixthly, it's seven, okay, so we're not going to be here forever. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Christian has no hope beyond the grave. Dead, and that's it. And Paul got that and said that if that were to be true, we were to be pitied above all and the most miserable of all. He writes in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Without Christ's resurrection, there is no resurrection of the dead for those who believe in Christ. Jesus becomes some sort of mentor. But who wants a mentor who's a liar? Because if he hasn't been raised from the dead, all the words that he spoke are not true, and all the promises that he gave concerning eternity are not true either. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, the Christian has no hope at all beyond the grave, but we do because he's been raised to life again. And finally, if Christ has not been raised, we have no source of strength or power to live the Christian life. Paul to the church of Galatia said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That was writing to one lot of Christians at Galatia. Writing to another lot of Christians at Philippi, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Or to the church of Colossae, he wrote, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. When we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to die to ourselves. We are crucified with Christ, and we begin to live our lives in his resurrection power. Our old life finishes. We live a new life in Christ, or rather, Christ lives his life in us. Christ lives his life in us. He gives us new desires, new longings to to love him and to follow him and to please him. We don't want to sin any longer. We still sin, but we don't want to sin any longer. That's what changes. There's a new intimacy where God invites us into a Christ-likeness and we seek to become more like Christ in our lives. It's the way of crucifixion as we embrace dying to ourselves, but that's sourced by his power, the power of his resurrection at work in us. The risen Christ walks with us. The risen Christ, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, lives in us, and he gives us strength and power to follow Jesus as his disciples. We are raised with Christ. We enjoy our relationship with God through Christ. Because of the resurrection, we receive the strength that we need to follow Jesus. Without Christ being raised from the dead, we have no power, no strength to follow him in this world and no hope in the next. Don't be a fool. Don't be foolish. Believe it with all your heart. Claim it this Easter day with your whole life. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Please stand. Please stand. You know, there just might be somebody in church this morning, and for you it's sort of vague head knowledge, and you need to make it a heart reality this morning. God is God up close, and he's up close to us in this place this morning by his Spirit. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and it's going to be a very straightforward prayer of acknowledging that we believe that Christ has died for us, that he's risen, and inviting him to come to live in our lives so that this vague head knowledge becomes a life-transforming reality in who we are. So will you pray this prayer as we bow our heads this morning? And for some of you, will you make this the beginning of really following the risen Christ in your life? Lord Jesus Christ, on this Easter day, I believe that you were crucified on the cross in my place. You paid the price for my sin. I'm sorry that I am a sinful person. And on this Easter day, I believe that you were risen from the dead, that you're alive. So today I give you my life. Lord Jesus, I ask you to live in my life and in my heart and to make me a real Christian, a true follower of Jesus, one who knows your power and your strength. So fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe that Christ has died. I believe that Christ is risen. I believe that Christ will come again. And from this day onwards, with my whole life, I promise that in your strength, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue to worship. The prayer team are going to be around the front even as we're worshiping. So feel free to begin to come to the front for prayer for anything this Easter day. But in particular, if you prayed that prayer this morning, then these guys would love to pray that God would fill you with his strength and with his risen presence and risen power. Let's worship together.